It seemed like everybody want to be a boss these days. Everybody want to be a boss till it's time to pay out, you feel me? Till it's time to pay that boss call. They ain't trying to have them tough conversations. Ain't trying to put in them extra hours, catching that windfall money, dealing with folks not being consistent. Don't get me started on the lack of sleep, but you know what they say.
Boss Life, BOSSFEST, Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right. BOSSFEST, the Boss Fest Podcast. They might make you laugh, make you mad, make you cry. Either way it go, it's a vibe. Tune in, catch the topic, get the tea. Ain't no shallow waters over here, we get deep. You sensitive, easy to offend, you need to flee. But them tough conversations gonna be happening. Boss Fest Podcast, they hold it down. Wednesday, 7 Eastern, man, it's going down. Tell a friend to tell a friend and y'all gather round. Get active in the comments, don't get lost in the crowd.
Hey, what's happening? It's your man DJ Bush. I had to show love to Kevin and Edwina, Boss Fest Butler. Y'all know what time it is, the Boss Fest Podcast. But you already know what we live in.
Boss Life, BOSSFEST, the Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right.
What's up? What's up? What's up? Welcome again to another edition of the Boss Fest Podcast. How y'all doing today? It's your boy Kevin.
And I'm Edwina.
Why are you so delayed?
Because I didn't think my mic was on. I can't hear myself, so I still don't think it's on.
You're you.
Oh, okay. Well, you can hear me then. That's good. I'm Edwina.
You still don't hear yourself?
Nope.
So, listen, we got another one for you today. Before we get into that, I got to ask my counterpart. How was your day today, babe?
It was a good Wednesday. Like, sometimes I look forward to Wednesdays, and sometimes it just be rough. But today was actually a really good day. What about you?
It was okay. So this Wednesday don't feel like a Friday?
This Wednesday doesn't feel like a Friday, but last Wednesday it felt like a Friday because it was my Friday. And this is just, just a Wednesday, I guess.
I guess, we was outside this past weekend, several things. We was at Avenue Blue. Enjoyed the vibes and the scenery there. And so shout out to Taj Mahal. His business partner for having a great spot that allows for
Oh my goodness, that cognac cornbread.
And I can't even eat none of it no more because I started dieting and doing keto. So I'm trying to stay away from any type of carbs and things of that nature. I'm doing okay. I think I lost about 15 pounds so far.
That's crazy that men can do like just the easiest thing and lose a lot of weight. I feel like it's so tough for women to lose weight because you could just stop drinking sodas and be like, yep, lost 10 pounds. So
true.
But I mean, that's really good.
No, I'm excited about it. I have a goal that I want to be at a certain weight by the next time I hit the Boss Fest stage. I know I've said that every year.
Every year, I think you said it.
I have. But if I'm asking people to challenge themselves and be better in business, and I got to be better in my personal business as well. And I got to show those results because I want to get on some people's stages and I don't want to like the fat, sloppy guy. I want to look like I know my business as much as I know my business. Sometimes.
Look, I got a question. I know what you about to go into knowing your business, but you talking about wanting to be on people's stage. Why would somebody book you for? Like, what would make someone say, man, I need to get him on the stage?
I think I can bring a lot of good information to people, especially as it relates to the grant writing process and the spaces of that endeavor. That's the goal, to be able to speak on this process to help a lot of businesses, whether they for-profits or nonprofits. But I definitely got a special place for nonprofits. So that's my niche. I just want to ensure that,
You want to ensure what?
You don't distract me, one. But I just want to ensure that I'm able to deliver a product that people can follow and believe in.
Twist it.
Okay, so.
You hear yourself now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So people should book you for their stage because you're going to deliver the information that they need to know about grants.
Yep. Getting their business ready for grant funding. And I also want to deliver new information as to how you can apply for these grants. So I am redeveloping myself. I am retraining myself, teaching and all of those good things. So I just want to be able to deliver that.
All right. So you're trying to get skinty so that you could be on people's stage delivering them the actual items so that they can get grant funding.
I want to look the part. Sometimes I've been one of those people that really didn't care about appearances. But I understand the importance of that. You know, presentation, it all plays a factor. The way your business looks, the way you look, it's all presentation. So if you look like you don't keep yourself together and you're unkept and all that stuff, how only people who know you gonna mess with you. But you gotta entice those people who don't know you to see your value.
Okay.
And you know, bring that about. So yeah, that's the play.
Throw a couple hearts in the chat for that. So I can definitely respect it. I didn't mean to distract you from what
you've been distracting the hell out of me right now. People are like, why does he keep pausing? Because I'm getting distracted in the background.
But in okay. Life, distractions come. You got to be able to move with them and keep going.
Some of these distractions, like self, like it's just, okay, just do something.
I'm done with my distractions.
All right. So today's topic, and it should make for a very interesting conversation. Is you can't cancel my vote.
Normally you had a little topic where we could see it on the screen. So
I hadn't typed it up yet, but I'm gonna type it up as we go.
So we're talking about you cannot cancel my vote. Mm-hmm. And I guess put that into context for me. Is someone trying to cancel people's vote? Like, what are we saying here?
So there's a trend going on through social media about wives going to the poll this year to cancel out their husband's vote because they assume, or possibly it may be known, that their husband may be voting for a candidate that they wouldn't vote for, right?
So I've seen a little piece of the trend, and it sounds like what we're talking about is like the videos that are going on TikTok. So it's kind of like wives going to the poll saying, I'm going to go cancel my husband's vote for Trump, is what they're saying.
That may be what they're saying, but that's just a silly, it's a silly argument. Like, a vote is a vote. You can't cancel out someone's vote.
Well, clearly, they're just having fun with it, but essentially what they're saying is their husband's voting for someone that they're not.
Right, but the problem is with that is like it's like this narrative being pushed out there to saying that, hey, if this person is voting for this particular person that's different than who you're voting for, are they really committed to you? And I think that's BS, because in white households, that's typically how the voting process works. 75% of white males typically vote Republican, while 50 to 55% vote Republican. So that means the other 45%.
You just said Republican twice.
I understand that. So what I'm telling you is that if 75% of white men are voting Republican and only 50 to 55% of white women are voting Republican, that means there's a 45% chance that the female is voting Democrat or whatever party of affiliation. That doesn't impact their households, but somehow within our culture, it's now perceived as, oh man, if this person is voting for a different candidate, then now all of a sudden, What does that really say about your relationship? What does that say about how he sees you and views you? And I'm like, wait a minute, how did we get here?
So literally what I want to ask you in this moment is, how did we get here? Because this does not seem safe.
It's not a safe time right now. So we got to press the envelope. So the Boss Fest table talked about different things.
It does, but it just doesn't seem safe for you, in my opinion.
Why doesn't it seem safe for me?
Because I'm listening to you describe what you're telling me and how, you know, the 75 and the 55 or whatever it is you said, but how white households may be different than black households. But you came up with a topic about you can't cancel my vote. So what are you saying? Because it almost feels like there is a message that you are relaying.
I created a title. The message is the message. What I did was I chose a provocative title that would get clicks and views. If I sit here and be like, me and my wife are voting the same, but people out here canceling votes.
I want to be very clear because I am one of those individuals that believes that if my husband votes a certain type of way, then he may not be on the same trajectory maybe as me, and I need to rethink some values.
So this one election where potentially the black male vote is going to swing a little bit more for the Republican, but it's still going to be somewhere between 70-80% Democrat. But if them 30% black male say, hey, I want to go Republican with my vote, then the 90% of black women, because there's going to be less black women who vote Democrat this year than previous years. But we ain't going to challenge that. We just want to challenge the swing with the black male vote. But I hear you. It's going to be a problem.
So I want to be very clear. I'm not challenging the black male vote. I am challenging the black male sitting in front of me.
Okay.
Those are two very different things. Everybody don't live in my household.
I hear what you're saying, but we've already established that I view things different as relates to certain things. The way that I see abortion is different than the way that you see abortion. I told you before. I don't agree with it, but I'm not going to take away a woman's right to choose.
All right. So then since we're now having this conversation, you said you don't agree with abortion, but you don't want to take the right away for a woman to choose. Right. Are we yes or no on four?
You asking why I got to get what I voted didn't vote
for? I mean, the question is, you can't cancel my vote. You want to talk about it. So we talking about it, are we not?
We are, but
let me ask you a different way.
Okay. My vote is my vote. Let me enjoy.
Oh, let you secretly have your vote?
That's what the voting process is my vote. Dave Chappelle talked about this in a bunch of comedy skits and everything. Like, hey, you know, we talk about a lot of things. But we ain't talking about who we voted for. Hey, you're going too far there, bud.
So you said I'm going to bring you back. You said this one election, it feels different than other elections.
It does.
For me. So if we're asking like, hey, why is this election different than the other elections? I have like a list of things for me why it's different.
Okay.
But specifically, if we're talking about the abortion, I've had different medical issues. I've gone through different things and it feels very personal for me, which is why I asked that. So sure, you can have your beliefs that I don't necessarily agree with abortion, but you can disagree with something, but not want to take someone else's rights away.
Correct.
So then that's what made me ask you about what your vote was.
Whatever I decided to vote for.
All right. I mean, I guess.
What? It's still my vote to choose and secretly do it. If it was a public thing, then we would just vote publicly on social media now so everybody can know exactly what you chose.
I think we should vote publicly on social media.
I think we're going to eventually go to that place. I think the voting is actually going to go more digital and more social in the future. A lot of people are scared of it, me too, because do you really control your vote at that point, right? It can easily be manipulated that way. But I do think voting is going to go from the traditional going to a ballot box or to a voting location. And it's going to all be done on our phones and probably in the next 10 to 15 years. 10 to, you know, I guess, 8 to 16 years.
Okay, so let me ask you, do you feel like this election has a lot to do with race?
I feel like race is playing a part that it has no right to be in right now. And that's due to several different things. I think social media is driving that narrative. I think candidates themselves are putting themselves in positions to drive that narrative and not clean up some of the messaging. And but I think both sides present some good arguments depending upon the topic that's displayed.
It feels like you're dancing around it.
I ain't dancing around nothing. I'm just being where I need to be. It's no dance. I'm telling you, like, no one has clearly, no one truly to me has a clear plan for our country right now. Kamala has a better plan that feels like we go back to a sense of normalcy for us as a country that we've been used to in the past. But the things we've been used to in the past, have they really benefited us as a people?
So you want to go back to what era?
Listen, I was cool with Trump and his Make America Great era until he said some dumb stuff like 1776. And I was like, wait a minute. Why did you wait till this point to say that?
Why nobody asked him until now to ask him when he thought it was great?
No, I think people asked him and it was just in short formats. What's happened is in these last few weeks, both him and Kamala have started doing like long format podcasting where they're sitting in front of somebody and they're talking now for the next 2 to 3 hours. Kamala is doing her part to keep it within an hour at most for most things. But Trump, you know, he gets there, he sits down, he starts talking, he's going to these different shows, he's having these different conversations with these people. And, you know, people asking questions like in general conversation, like we just talking, like, oh yeah, I think 1776 was a good year. I think the founding fathers got it right. And when you think about it, like from that perspective, he's saying like, hey, I think that was a time when the country had came together and we were trying to be the country that we is today, but it didn't include us as Black people.
Okay, so let me go back just a little bit. So my initial question before you started taking me down this path was, do you feel like this election is race-driven? Can I get a yes or a no?
Yes. I feel like this election is race-driven. Yes. This has got to be definitive.
Yeah, I mean, just yes. I don't need you to tell me a long story.
I said about, yes.
You know, I woke up one day and, you know.
I said yes.
Thank you for just saying yes. So if you agree that the election is race driven, why is it so far fetched for people to feel like this election really like matters more than other elections in the past?
Because the candidates here are two candidates that came in through unique circumstances, right? You think about Donald Trump and him being in the position he's in. A 34-time convicted felon. Additional charges potentially on the way for felony counts and things of that nature. And twice impeached. In a normal situation, you wouldn't even consider this person as a candidate. And truth be told, if the Democrats just would have left him alone and let him do his normal banter and not tried to go after him as hard legally like they did, I think he would not even be it would not be him. It would be between Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley and probably Nikki Haley.
All right, but let's stay on pace with what the question is. Okay.
And Kamala, due to how they kicked Uncle Joe out, she has kind of been put in a position of, I don't want to call it a DEI, but it feels like the normal process that we go to select the candidate. She bypassed every last one of them. So even if she is the potential candidate or she wins the election, they going to put asterisks by her name and saying that, yes, even though she.
All right, let me ask you the question, because, I mean, you saying a lot of things.
Go ahead.
That, from a Black man's perspective, do you feel like a Black woman can run the country?
Yes.
So you have no issue with a Black woman being in a leadership role?
No.
do you think other black men have that issue?
Only insecure black men.
Okay, so if we're saying only insecure black men may have that issue, then you started off talking about how so many more black men will be voting Republican than we've seen before.
But I don't necessarily think it had anything to do with her. I think whoever that candidate was, if it was still Joe Biden or any other person, that can't, like, you were still going to see that swing of more black men leaning Republican because of certain policies and procedures that they're going about. The Republican Party seems to be more or less, hey man, get your bag, get your money. While the Democrat Party seems to be like, let us help you, help everybody. Here's a handout, here's a handout, here's a handout. And a lot of black men feel like the reason why our community is in the state it's in is because the government intervened and stepped in and tried to provide so many handouts to black women that it made almost the black men obsolete. And now we're at a point where black men and women are at a discourse and it is affecting our community. So they like, hey, why would I continue to support this narrative when I seen what it does? So I don't think it has anything to do with it being a black woman there at the time. I just think that was the trend it was already going. It was already shifting when Trump went on, won the first election. He pulled about, I think it was like 8% of the vote. Then the second time he pulled 16% of the black
men. So vote. You're saying that black men would rather vote for someone who preferred the country to go back to 1776 than to vote for this black woman because the Democrats hand out too many, like they give too many freebies.
Percentage wise, no. 70 to 75% of black men are still going to vote for the Democratic process and what they see and believe that Kamala can bring. You only talking about that 20 to 25% that's saying, hey, I want to go this way. And they're not looking at it from a race standpoint. They're looking at it from a business standpoint. So
do you think you can keep race out of it when we have this type of conversation?
I think people are going to keep bringing race into it. And that's why those men that's leaning that way are kind of frustrated with things. Like, man, let's talk the business side of it, but you can't necessarily do that all the time because it's more to this thing than just business.
So I feel like it's hard to keep race out of something if the candidate, or at least one of the candidates, keeps bringing race into it.
He's a personality. His whole shock value is, I'm going to do something that's entertaining. And how I entertain you is creating controversy and drama.
It's creating divide. So how could you vote for someone who literally disrespects you? Like, this is out in the open. And the closer we get to the election, in my opinion, it just becomes more blatant.
Because it's not about, for those people, it's not about the district. It's about, like you said, it's about a divide and a conquer. You can't win it trying to bring everybody together. What you have to do is you have to divide things. And that's exactly what Donald Trump has done. He's divided the Republican Party itself. You don't think about, it used to be Republican. Now it's MAGA Republican and then Republican. Or they don't even say MAGA Republican no more. They just say MAGA. Oh, I'm MAGA. I'm not even Republican. So he divided the Republican Party to that point where 30 to 45% of those voters say, I am MAGA. And then you got the other percentage of the Republicans who like, man, I would rather vote for him than any other potential candidate. And that fractured them. The Democratic Party process has always been fractured between moderates to progressives to whatever all the other titles it is it has. But this is the first time this has really happened with the Republican process. I'm just saying. But I just don't, I just feel like it's foolish for us to even play in a space of like, you can cancel my vote. Everybody's vote matter. If we scream and everybody vote matter, why are we trying to create this pretense that if I vote for someone else, that you can just automatically supersede my vote? I understand that, but I think people do think that.
No, no one thinks that they can cancel your vote. It's just something cute that they're saying on TikTok. So they're literally saying that the black men that they are in relationships with, they know they're going to the polls to vote for Trump, but they're not voting for Trump. So it's just a cute trend. That's the same thing when he said they're eating the cats and dogs, and all of a sudden there was now a remix to eating the cats and dogs. Literally, the internet is just completely unserious.
No, but I think a lot of people are taking that unseriousness serious.
That you can go and cancel someone's vote?
I think they believe it. Hey,
I don't think that at all.
I honestly think women think, all right, if my husband votes Republican and I vote Democrat, then my house is still Democrat. Not that he voted one way, I voted one way.
I don't even understand why you're just so dead set on the fact that you think women believe this. I guess people, the same people that can believe that they're eating cats and dogs are the same ones that can believe this. So I guess.
People believe. All I'm saying is I feel that that narrative is becoming too prevalent. Like I said, this is going to be an important election for all of us. Whoever the candidate is, regardless, those 4 years, we got to figure out how do we make the most out of it, build our brands, stabilize our households and things of that nature. I think the Biden campaign has gotten a unfair assessment of how it performed these past 4 years. But I just think that we have to look at the things that I'm gonna say this. Let me back up. So the reason why I think a lot of black men are gonna vote for Trump, or more black men than typical are gonna vote for Trump, because he did do a few things that broke.
He gave him a check.
So that's the social media aspect of it. But no, well,
you're talking about the social media aspect.
I got it. Congress got him a check. But what he did do, he passed the a criminal reform act that was being stalled in Congress. He reached out to those people that were stalling and said, hey, let's cut it out. So when we used to see Kim Kardashian and Kanye West go to the White House and have those conversations with them, and that's what they were working on, those criminal reform acts, that helped mostly black men. So that was one of those things where, as a black man, I can say, because he interjected, it allowed for a lot of black men to get freed from prison a lot sooner, charges reduced and things of that nature, because he went in, he intervened and said, hey, stop blocking this from the senators who were blocking. Hey, y'all stop blocking this. Let's go ahead and get them this. I'll give y'all something else, but let's stop blocking this. And they passed it. And that's when you seen Van Jones and all the other pundits on the news media up there crying and actually praising Trump for what he did. But these will be the same dudes now you see on TV telling you that he is the worst thing in the world. He's the Antichrist. He's the new Hitler and everything else. And it's like, which one is it?
I mean, I guess I feel like it just seems as though you're trying to give black men a pass. Like there's a lot of, well, this, that, or whatever. And
I'm trying to give them a pass.
That's what it feels like to me.
I'm not giving anyone a pass. What I'm talking about is we all are own unique individuals. And the fact that we can sit here today and have a conversation about this and have a discourse and have a difference of opinion is a great thing. The discourse is going to start in our homes first. Once we learn how to navigate through it, then we can take it out into the streets, into our communities, and truly build upon how we see the world around us. And maybe it will activate us to move a little bit better in our own communities and get more involved in our local government versus caring so much about federal government that really has, it can have a major impact, but it's the local government that impacts us the most that we don't care nothing about. And there might be a million Trumps in your local office is doing doing stuff that you blinking.
So who you think is a Trump in your local office?
I don't know. I don't even know enough of them to even recognize. All right,
but you sitting here like you about to preach to people about how they need to like get on board with their local offices and pay attention to that. And I'm asking you who a Trump is, and you're like, hey, I don't know either.
I got it. So this conversation is definitely triggering for you because you just want to just like
Me. I'm asking you specific questions. And I feel like you're literally just doing like a small dance around this. Like even with the topic and you saying, hey, you can't cancel my vote being a topic. And I'm telling you, hey, this is a cute TikTok thing. That's not what it is. Then your debate is, no, people really believe that. I'm telling you, that's not what it is. It literally is this generation being unserious. But let's talk about what is serious, that there is actually an election that is based on race. And we have a candidate that is literally saying, hey, you know, your country is where you come from is a pile of trash in the ocean. And yet still people are saying, hey, I'm going to embrace him.
He didn't say that.
The comedian said that. But you think that they're not vetted before they go up there? Like literally, if someone's on his stage, you would assume that I stand behind the things that you're saying. But again, everything that I say that is like around this candidate or around the conversation, I feel like a lot of black men try to like protect it, or that's not what he's saying. It's not really about race. I'm not looking at the race. I'm just looking at the business. And it seems like a cop out to me to be able to say, hey, I'm not looking at race because I want to vote for a bigot and not stand behind a black woman. And how can you take race out of it when someone's literally saying, I want to go back to 1776 because you can't say he didn't say that. When literally that means this country, nothing that I'm doing is for you. But yet still, let's ignore that he said that. Let's ignore that he put something in the paper to kill like 5 boys of color. And then literally recently said that they murdered this white woman, which never happened. But let's ignore all of those things because he's a great businessman. And how many times do we have to say, look, he's not even that.
If you a billionaire, then you a great businessman. You can't take that from him. I will say a lot of the points you made are on point. How can I, as a black man, vote for somebody that's going to be voting against my interests, who doesn't really care about my interests or the things that impact me and my community? And there is a documented history of him being discriminating and biased towards black and brown people. But there's also a history of him supporting black and brown people. So it's like, which one?
What do we want to talk about? The $2 that he gave to the HBCUs? Like every time somebody black wants to support him, they're like, but he gave HBCUs some money. Like, I mean, just the narrative just sounds like crazy.
No, I'm thinking about all the rappers and the celebrities and the other black businessmen that were based out of New York who were standing up and beside this man and having those conversations. I'm talking about the Oprah Winfrey's who used to interact and engage with this man and do business with this man on different levels and things of that nature before all of a sudden he became so toxic in a political space.
Because I think it's what people say when you're talking about business. Sometimes you should leave politics out of your business. So as long as you're not saying your true thoughts, we can handle business. But now he's on a platform where he's saying, I'm running to be the president of all people, but I really only want to support these people. And now we have men of color saying, I'm going to stand behind him because he's a great businessman. But are you forgetting where you really come from?
No, I don't think people are forgetting where they come from. They just don't want to live from where they've been. And it seems like a lot of times the Democratic Party wants us to keep living like it's 1960 and it's 1970.
Well, he wants us to live like it's 1776?
He wants us, I guess, 1776. Let's go. It almost feels like a separate but equal type feel with him. And for Democratic Party, it's almost like, feel like, oh, you still the lowly little Negro that we got to help get to a certain place and we got to do this for you and do that for you, man. So all I can tell you is that
it's comment says, and does he represent you and have your best interest? Exactly what I'm saying. Does he represent you? But so many black men are like, I'm just going to go ahead and vote for him. I see a lot of Hispanics that are like, I'm going to go ahead and vote for him. When literally you can have a comic on your stage talk about how like people are trash.
He said
Puerto Rico was trash. That's what he said.
The island is a floating trash can. And if you think about it from the wastelands and stuff, is a fair statement to say?
It's a fair statement to say where these people live, it's a floating trash can.
It's based off a corrupt government. So there are certain things that's true.
Is Africa not? Like, we literally just took a trip to Africa and you can't drive down a road without a police coming and wanting you to bribe them. Is it not the same type of thing?
Isn't it the same type of corruption?
Is there not corruption here?
There is corruption here, but there are more laws in place to protect the average people from the corruption. Puerto Rico, the people are still impacted by the corruption and the day-to-day activity. Africa, South Africa, definitely, like, it's just corrupt all the way around.
Have you seen a presidential candidate say that he's going to use the United States Army to get rid of people that are already in the United States?
No, he crazy for that. That's definitely fascist activity. So let's make one thing apparently clear tonight. So I am here to play devil's advocate.
Are you? Because it doesn't feel like you're here to play devil's advocate.
Let's go. Run through the ballot. So that way we can move beyond that.
What are we moving beyond? Like, I started this conversation asking you, were you voting yes or no on 4?
I voted yes.
I voted yes on four. Like, that took half the conversation.
I voted yes on 4.
Okay.
What else?
So I'm gonna read these comments. It says he don't even want Mexicans to be here. It isn't what he says, it's how he says it. I think it's also what he says too. But it says he's a Hitler modern day. And I could agree with that. I want to go a step further and say, so now that, like, there's comments in the chat, like, as a black man, do you feel like you're going against your history and your upbringing voting for someone like Trump?
No.
And why not?
Because I think Trump is a joke, but his policies can help benefit our community if we're looking to make those plays. So I'll be transparent.
Right. I'm like, because you're just saying a whole bunch of, I don't want to call it BS, but I mean, let's call it what I'm saying. Yeah, because you're like, I don't think I'm going against anything if we want that, if we want those plays. I'm literally asking you as a black man, how do you feel? Not for you to give me a song and dance. Like, let's talk about it if you want to talk about it.
I feel like if I were to vote for him, because I'm not, or I didn't, but if I were to vote for him, I would look at what I think he would bring to the justice reform system, the justice system, because I know for a fact that if he's elected, he's going to damn near try to break that system so he can't penalize him, which then would allow for a lot more black men to be freed or released. Because if they got to release him, then they now can use those same things to release and free themselves. And that's what a lot of people out there
think. So you think the system going to work for us, even though it's going to be designed to help him, and somehow that's still going
to
help us?
Because the system was designed to help a group of people before, not one individual. I think he's going to do something where he makes it so the system was designed to help him. And in that process, he's not going to lay everything out the right way. And a lot of Republicans.
That's a lot of ifs.
Nope. And a lot of Republicans feel the same way. They're like, hey, man, pay attention to this now, because if he gets reelected now and he's able to change and manipulate these things, while he may make himself safe, he's definitely going to expose us to a long term history of different types of control. Because if he go in there and he messes it up too bad, then they're going to vote Democrat the following year. And now the Democrat Party is going to have so much control and oversight that the Republican Party may not be able to recover from. So there's gives and takes to that crap. I'll even say, I think a lot of black men are feeling like, man, Trump hears them. I don't think he hears us, but
a lot of black men think Trump is listening to their needs.
I think a lot of black men that's going to vote for him feel like Trump has their best interests at heart. I don't believe it. I think that the things he's going to do is going to actually destroy this country, and we're not truly prepared for it. But there are certain aspects of his argument that I can listen to. It's not enough to make me vote for him ever. But there are certain things in there where I can say, you know what, that may benefit. And I think I think black men who are going to vote for him, they're just looking at those things. They're not looking at all of them.
So this comment says, absolutely, I'm going against morals, values. He himself is going against the American dream. People view the USA as a place of unity. I agree. Like, if you...
Who views the USA as a place of unity?
I think other countries do 100%.
Not even anymore.
I think when you travel, people look to the U.S. as a place where it's almost a mixing pot of different cultures, and people try to escape where they are to come to the U.S. So I don't think you can say not anymore. I do think that people believe that the U.S. is a place of unity. They also feel like it used to be, because I won't say that it still is, but a safe haven for people to come to. People wouldn't risk their lives to get here if they didn't think so.
It's still that, so I'll give you that. But that place of unity, I think we have lost that edge in the world. And it's because of a lot of the actions that he has put forth within our country. But people are going to overlook it. Like, we're talking about the black men in this process that it's going to vote him. We're going to talk about this 20 to 25% of black men. But we ain't talking about the 10% of black women that's going to vote for him, or the 70 to 80% of white men that's going to vote for him, or the 50 to 55%.
Well, let's talk about all of it.
That's going to vote for him.
This comment says, I'm sorry. Hell no. Whatever he does will benefit him, not blacks. He doesn't even want police to be held accountable for killing people, mostly black people. And that's a whole topic on itself. Like, I want to give police immunity. Like, that is a whole conversation. So, but to backtrack on what you're saying, while we're not talking about the black women that will vote for him, are the white men. Let's talk about the white men first. Because when I think about the white men that are voting for him, that's exactly what I think. That now we have created this divide where it feels like this is strictly based on race. So do I expect there to be more white men voting for him? I 100% do. Because now that's exactly how I view it, that this has become very racist.
So you think right now you feel like 75% of white men are racist?
Did you ask me as though you were going to get some shock value? I feel like if you are voting for Trump, and I'm just going to put it out there, that in order to vote for him with some of the things that he said, you do have to be racist. I feel like if you are black and you are voting for Trump, then there is something within you that you lack. I 100% believe that. Like, how can you stand behind someone? And it's not whether it's Democrat or Republican, because in other races, I'm like, completely vote Republican. Everyone has like their particular right to vote, you know, whatever you believe as far as policies. This is a different type of race. We have now put this particular presidential race based on racism. He has literally divided us so much to talk down to certain people. Like, if you vote for him, to me, it feels like, as a person of color, how could you love yourself and still stand behind someone who does not care about you?
Ooh. All right, then. I don't know what to run that one.
And then I'll double down and I'll say, as a man, especially a man that loves a woman, has a sister, has a daughter, how could you vote against abortion? And it's not like people are looking at like black or white, like, I don't want you to kill a baby. But what we're literally saying, there are so many medical issues that go behind that. And you saying no could cost a woman her life. We don't get to vote on what you're doing with your body. I don't understand why this is even a conversation for us to have. That conversation should be with that woman and her physicians. And I've had conversations like that. I've been at home bleeding on the floor and hoping that this thing doesn't turn out bad. I've had those same situations. So I feel that to my core. So to double down on that and say, like, there cannot be a man that I love that is like, hey, I don't agree with that, because I feel like that means that you don't love me. When you have to go to a hospital, make a decision about my life, and I am not awake to be able to do that, I want you to make the decision that's right for me. And this vote to me really is putting women's life on the line.
Everything you said is true. Everything you said is impactful. Nothing that you are saying, I disagree with.
I just want to make sure you understood that I doubled down and I said a man that is in my life cannot vote against that, because we have two different values.
I voted on four. Yes, on four.
I understand what you're saying. I just wanted to make sure, because we're having a podcast and you were doing dancing. And what I wanted to say was, let's be direct with the conversation. And I have certain values and how I'm raising my daughter and how I'm raising my son to love women and embrace them. And this decision needs to be theirs. I can't be in a household like that. So the conversation being like, hey, women are going to cancel out their husband's vote, I do think it's being funny. But to be very clear to those women who don't know where their husbands or their spouses stand, and you believe that he stands against you, you probably should rethink the person that you're with.
So you've been in a relationship with somebody for 10 to 15 years.
Leave him.
And y'all have built a beautiful life. But all of a sudden he says, you know what? I think I may vote for Trump. Now he needs to be divorced. Leave him. Double down. Got it. Leave him. Wow. That is crazy.
Let me read this comment. So there is a high number of white men who are voting for him who are racist, and only they will benefit mostly from him, especially if they're rich. 100% agree. I just don't feel like it makes sense logically on why any minority would vote for him. I agree. I feel like the comment section is just for me tonight. It is just for me.
That's fine. The comment section
and then
probably will remain.
The next comment says, out of there. Yes. So to be very clear, when I say like you should leave him, it's really like I'm talking about the vote for four specifically. But I 100% believe people of color really need to rethink that. Can I say that there are some policies
So I can vote for Trump and vote yes on four, and I don't got to get a divorce.
So if you're talking about you specifically, you may be in a different category. I just wanted to make sure that I stood on that and said that. But we can't be in the same household where I got to look at you and be like, oh, you Bojangles around here and Jigaboo or whatever, you know, like however many names that I want to say there. We can't do that and then do business and sleep together and be trying to move in the same way. I don't agree with that. But especially if our views are different.
Why can't you follow my view? Why is your view the right view?
Because I love myself.
Got it.
So this comment says, women needs to follow the man. No need to ever be with a woman that will not follow. So there you go. Jake says there's no need to be with a woman that will not follow you. Women should follow men as long as the path isn't leading them off the bridge. They're just having a whole comment fight. I didn't even realize that I read that. 100%. Just follow your man off the bridge. So do you agree with that comment? A woman should follow a man. A woman cannot think for herself. Just follow your man.
That's not what that comment said.
Well, then explain to me what your thoughts are on what the comment on the comment says.
If we're talking about traditional values.
Okay.
So we got married traditional way. In the eyes of the Lord, the man being the head of the household and the family and the provider and all that stuff, and the man is the head, then yes, I feel like the man should lead and direct his household. But it isn't to dominate the household, it's to elevate the household. And he does that by listening to his partner and they building that trusting relationship with each other. So they know regardless of which direction they're going, they're both comfortable. And there are times where the man has to make a sudden decision or a sudden direction change and say, hey, babe, I think this is the way we need to go. And a lot of times women are being more controversial about just following those directions. And it's almost like, have I not proven enough for that trust to be, you know, to be followed? And this is a conversation I'm having with men who've been married before, divorced and things of that nature. And they said, you know, I've gotten to certain points where I'm like, man, I want us to move this way. And she's not feeling it anymore. And she's not feeling my direction. So fine. We just need to split up because this is the way I want to live. I want my household to run.
All right. So then basically, you said a lot to say that men are now saying if the woman isn't following my direction, we should split. Like you said a lot of words to get to the same point, which sounds like exactly what the comment says.
I'm going to continue to say a lot of words. Quit trying to devalue all of my words.
It was just so many
words.
It's
a podcast. I'm supposed to just say follow me and shut up. Then it's dead air.
No, but if you're saying follow me and shut up, then stand on that business if that's what you believe.
I am standing on that business. And FYI, we're not in 1970, but on this comment. But
it says we're not in 1970, like you said, Kevin, we in today.
Got it. But just so we know, the black household was stronger in 1970 than it is today. FYI. So there were some things that they got right that we're missing on today's. In today's society that we could actually learn from. I'm not saying everything they did was right, but we had stronger communities in 1960, 1970 as a black household. We had stronger families then. We're slowly getting away from that value system that made our communities great, where in reality, the end of segregation kind of destroyed that family value.
Let me ask you this. So this comment says, God, man, woman, children, man follows God, wife follows husband. You agree with that statement?
Based off the teachings, yes.
Okay.
But if I'm talking about me personally, I believe in God, but I am not in no one's religious center because I feel like church is a hypocrisy in itself and it uses the word to manipulate. And that's just me.
Okay, so this next comment says, I'm in the driver's side and she got the map, but I know where I'm going, but she's going to look at the navigation system just in case there's a roadblock ahead and we got a detour. I feel like that's a great way to describe that. Like that's a couple working together. Right. So then the next comment says, that's a power couple. So two people working together to get the family or the couple to a destination. So alone,
I'm not dismissing that concept.
Okay, so we're saying like along the way, there could be some roadblocks and she got to say, hey, look out for this, look out for that.
Right.
And whether you see it or not, you trust her enough as well to say, all right, let me maneuver and move.
Right.
The same way she got to trust that you're not just driving her off the cliff. So two people have to trust each other, not just blindly follow one another.
Correct. But right now in this landscape, black women who are in relationship with black men are looking at that narrative and saying, hey, if you are now voting for this particular person, I feel like you're voting against all of my interests just with this one vote for this man. And because of that, I should no longer follow you or trust your decision. I think it's unfair.
I mean, looking at me to say something, I mean, you think it's unfair, I guess. Like,
I just made my statement. I think it's unfair.
So this next comment says, no such thing as a power couple. It's man's purpose from God and wife is helpmate. That's a family.
I can't ride with you on that one, that partner. It sounds great.
It sounds that there's no such thing as a power couple. It's the man's purpose. So, I mean, I guess let me ask you. So if it's the man, if man's purpose from God ever speak to you to tell you, you know, what your purpose is so that you know how you're guiding your family?
So I got to say something that's uniquely going to confuse. It's going to create slight controversy. But
let's hear it. Let's talk about it.
But it's the way I see things, right? So I see the God in the black woman, right? The black woman is the only being that can create every other race on this planet, right? It is scientifically proven. Right? She can create every other race. A white woman can't create every other race. An Asian woman, only a black woman can create every other race. So she is within herself the divinity and that and that purpose. So for me saying, hey, I'm gonna support and follow my wife and ride with her. We gonna be this thing together, but she's allowing me to be the head of this thing. I'm perfectly fine with that. You wanna call it a power couple, you wanna call it whatever way you wish to call it, I am okay with it because I know my success story wouldn't be as great as it is without my wife. And some of the things that I would have done personally within our household and our family, we might be in a better financial situation, but from a personal development situation or a household that's based off of experiences and extra love and things like that, that probably wouldn't exist. My wife drives that. So I'm 100% agreeing that we do this thing together. So
that's nice. Thank you. So the next comment says, God leads the man. God can come from the woman at times, but God leads man.
Your assessment. Won't disagree with you. Just not my opinion.
So God can't ever lead woman. Like, God can't lead a woman. He can only lead a man.
Yet again, didn't you just hear me say
that it was that person's assessment?
It was that 100% person's assessment.
Agree with you. And
that's all I said. And I'm, but think about that. So this individual in the comment section is making their point.
Uh-huh.
I don't necessarily disagree with what he's saying. I can see the validity in the things that he's saying. Do I 100% agree with everything? No, I don't. But that doesn't mean I'm going to devalue him and dismiss his comments and the things he's putting out there.
Right. No, but I get that.
But what's happening now in this political space is that when a man starts doing that, black women are like, no, you just dismissed and da 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 da. No.
I don't think that's what it is.
Why don't we see exactly where that person is coming from? I'm not saying you have to agree with his assessment of it. I'm not saying you even got to be aligned with it. But if we're actually listening to them or make them prove their point, if you respond to their point about supporting Trump in anger and vitriol, then you're never going to win an argument with them.
So I want to talk about it. So you started off with the comments. I think people can have their own point of view 100%.
Right.
If we're talking about these particular comments, what I believe is we're just stating the same thing over and over a different way. So what you're saying is prove that you're right and like what you believe in stands to be fact 100%. But when we're talking about the comments, that's not what's happening. So I think it's working against your argument because what's happening is, let's say the black woman is saying this, and then we have other people saying, no, it's this, 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 but you're not ever proving anything. So in your assessment of it, it's two people debating something back and forth and both showing proof on why they agree or believe in this. In this particular case of the comments, we're really just saying, this is what it is. It almost gives exactly what you're saying, like a Trump supporter saying, this is what it is, and I'm not providing any proof to stand behind it. So this comment says, I think if you're super religious, you shouldn't vote. You should put your faith in God and go on with your day. Politics and religion have two different leaders. Now that's ooh. Come on now. It's literally saying if you believe that God is going to lead, then put your faith in God and lead the rest of it alone.
Right. And that's why for so long, the black vote was suppressed because they didn't want us, you know, having that power to control how we live. So now, go vote.
I think everyone should definitely go vote as well. But I'm like really just thinking like on the comments. So in our relationship that has spanned 20
plus years,
whatever, there have been different times in our relationship where You have had to take the lead, right?
You said had to take the lead.
Well, you have taken the lead. So let me correct my words. You have taken the lead and lead us in most cases that you do. There's also been times where I have had to lead us in certain different things. So we work together on a common goal. Would we agree? Because we both understand where we're trying to drive this thing. And sometimes one of us gets weak and the other one knows to pick up and keep this thing moving. But we support each other in everything that we do.
Okay, so if we're doing it, why, if I now were to choose to vote a different way, would you just say?
Because I feel like your way of voting would be against what I'm doing. Not even against what I'm doing. So like I said, for me, like whether you're voting Republican and you're voting for like certain things that you believe in, and like people are saying like, hey, this is a good business person or whatever, I can understand those things. And literally I can understand that in every other aspect. When it comes to feeling like it's racially driven, that's what bothers me. Now, when you're talking about other like things that we're voting for in this election, especially when you're coming for like women's rights, for me, that's very personal. And that's where I stand on those things. People may not know, but our fight through infertility has shown me different views on what that looks like. So to me, I feel like that's very personal.
And you have every right to approach it from that angle. But there is that narrative out there from, it ain't even from a minority perspective, it's from the white perspective, where they're now trying to preserve and protect their race. There was a design to kill off or control the black and brown community. That's why they put all the Planned Parenthoods and all the centers in our community. But what started happening was all the white women started traveling to the hood to get the abortions. And once their numbers rose to 60 and 70% of all abortion cases, and that trend continued to play out, then it's like, oh man, we got to change this. So it wasn't the black and the brown people who was out there like, let me kill the kid. Those were the races that were more likely to say, I will deal with the burden of raising a kid by myself than actually going through with an abortion.
So the next comment says, faith without works is dead. That's silly. I think we may have just missed where that's placed. And then it says, it's against who you are to the core. And then the last comment says, Amendment 4 is accountability amendment. You can control who you sleep with and if you have unprotected sex.
What you got to say on that?
It seems stupid. Like, it seems like someone that's uneducated. And the only reason why I say that is because I do control who I sleep with. I've controlled who I slept with for the last 25 years. That didn't mean that I didn't have to take an abortion pill because something went wrong. So for me, I'm like, that is what I'm saying. When people are completely uneducated, when you're talking about women's health, I know several women who have been in medically devastating situations. I know that there was a time in my life where I was put to sleep and you had to make a decision about what happened. And had these laws been in place, you couldn't make those decisions for me. I have been in life or death situations more times than I'd like to say on a particular podcast, where my life was in your hands to make those decisions. And if I had a man like the one that's in the comments to make those decisions for me, I wouldn't be here today on this podcast. So I pray for the world, and I pray for every woman that can hear my voice that has a man that's willing to vote for her rights and will stand with her instead of stand against her. And I pray for every woman, every daughter, every sister, whatever, that doesn't have to deal with these things. And that's where I leave it. And I appreciate y'all joining us this Wednesday on the Boss Fist podcast. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.